Pittsburgh Section, National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History Number 2. Selma Berkman and Estelle Kruman interviewing Ben Fisher on February 2, 1977. Tape number 2.
So as a result of that meeting, I got a job in Conference of Tutor Division, became a self-made tutor expert. The consequence of all this is going on for this job in Stanford, for this position, spent, I believe, 2 years there. And then decided to go to Asia and Africa, which I did for about a year and a half. Developed tremendous interest in Far Eastern religions and cultures. Came back with the beard and the diet, meditation, standing on the head, which he's been doing ever since. Occupying top of the mountain in Mexico. Just recently decided it's pretty cold, so I'm in Mexico. Meditating there for the company.
Which guru?
Well, he's very kind. He reads philosophy. All kinds of languages. Brilliant. Has a found himself.
Is he practicing now? What does he do now?
Reading. He's contemplating. Grows vegetables.
And he's happy.
Oldest daughter is in Washington. She's married and has children. She's her father's daughter.
Does she have a career?
What is her married name?
Wayne.
She's still working with it.
Another one of the original crew there, Wayne, Mary.
His first name?
Ronald. Ronald D. Wayne. The two of them left the government to organize Wayne Associates for the Ronald's city and their staff. They are.
As part of the Wynn Associates?
No.
What does the Wynn Associates do? I had to do something else to move.
Research and development projects for the community, national park, drugs, special education, health problems, alcohol. Anything you're interested in, you want to pay for.
Mm-hmm.
They'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
And they have two children.
Michael, who is 7, Melanie, who is 6 now, about a year. The world's most
comfortable. I'm sure of that.
Elise is an artist in Eugene, Oregon. She's the only one of our children who lived with her degree. And they get a few more credits and constantly tells us she'll get them. She lives at the University of Oregon. She's never got them done. She's getting her degree. She paints, does art and other things to make a living. Several songs. States.
Can you, since we're talking about the children, is there a vast difference or contrast in the way you were raised as to how you raised your children?
They have had more attention from their parents than we ever dreamed of. There's been much greater communication. One of my families is a bad memory of the details, marvelous memories, important things that I remember. My parents were in the world completely. I think we have influential children. That doesn't mean we have telephone to do as far as I'm concerned. And every once in a while in Asia it can happen that the kids each turns up the mark at the kind of drifted away, especially when they come up. Many religious associations are different. And then every once in a while there is an interesting resurgence. One night, which we did not know was Hanukkah, we were coming back from vacation. Stopped in Washington on the way. I spent a couple of days with my kid. My daughter Karen was in Washington. Picked us up at the airport. Did not take us into the drive. We got a rush to Susan. Thought this would be just the children. Got in and there the Hanukkah candles, the whole bit, the whole ceremony, gradually and was apparent to us that the kids were going to Sunday school. They were kept fairly strict rules and regulations. And their parents were going to services at the appropriate time. Not too much. This was after a long period of not even knowing they were Jewish. And I've seen the same thing to her. Very much the same thing happened to Karen, who always was a little closer and far away. And Elise, every once in a while, gets involved. Mark is very religious, but extremely universalist. When he comes home, rarely a day when he doesn't have for the summer season. We go to all of them. We go to Rhoda Shaw, we go to Beth Shaw, we go to the Catholic Church, we go on the Bronx, the Black churches, all religions.
But he's involved in that sort of thing.
May I ask a question about you in the United Steelworkers as a Jewish man? Are there many involved in the hierarchy? Are you the only one that you know of?
General Counsel is Jewish. We've never had a non-Jewish General Counsel.
Oh.
There are four General Counsel. We used to have almost all Jewish lawyers, and a much mixed group, a much larger group of lawyers, much more mixed. We have several other Jews, one of the closest associates of Jewish.
Who is that?
Bob Miller, who used to be my associate here. Now he's head of the baseball player.
He was born Jewish?
He is Jewish. But
yeah.
Absolutely non-observant. Mm-hmm. A number of our lawyers here in Washington and in Chicago are Jewish. We have at least two Jews in my research department. We have a number of Jewish staff people in the country, not many, but more than a proportionate amount of Jews.
Now, is that in this era, let's say further back along the line?
It's never been very different. And I am one of the very few Jews this organization who has any involvement or interest in the Jewish community. And when I want support for Jewish activities, I don't go to our Jewish folks. I go to the Gentiles, especially the Blacks, who are strongest, the history of Brewster is building the Black Vice President. A little trouble getting enthusiastic support from my Arab colleagues. Well, there are three prominent ones here.
Are you friendly with them?
Oh, mm-hmm. One is my assistant. One is a warm friend. The other is our vice president. About to retire. One Jew in our pension insurance department, on our payroll, a Jewish consultant, who's not on our payroll. Across the country, I think a significant number of the lawyers who work for us are Jewish, not on our staff, but on our
retainers. Now, your job is assistant to the president of the United Steelworkers of America.
That means that I've gotten to the point where I'm to run this whole shop. This door was mine. As of January 1st, 1975, I believe we're back.
So what are you now?
Assistant to the president.
So what do you do now? what sort of
my major activity in the last couple of years has been looking after the guts of our civil rights problem, which is centered around the carrying out of the consent decree in the steel. And I continue to be interested in a major collection of problems and the activities of those of our departments that are concerned with collecting data. Both creating awareness and implementing awareness. I kind of unofficially steel workers fellow in housing and affairs. Carry over to the FLSA or housing committee.
Member of what?
The FLSA or housing committee. The states period when I was housing director of the CIO prior to the establishment of the FLSA.
And actually, what is that? Can you explain that a little further? The housing committee.
That is the committee of the executive board of the FLCIO, which looks after problems in housing and concerns.
Your members.
The trade union movement. The country concerned with production of housing, essential characteristic of our economy. We're concerned with the welfare of our members as consumers. We have the dual concern of production of housing and consumption. We represent the largest single body of consumers. We represent all the producers.
Do you have any idea how many people are involved in this union?
This union?
Yes.
1,400,000. I'm also usually represent Mr. Abel's field of energy, which is a vital interest to the labor movement that is doing. Both making speeches and sitting on committees that he's a member of.
I have this article from the paper last week.
The one by Al Rosenstein.
Right.
Al is a good friend of mine, but if he wants to make a speech, I wish he would make it. Not have me make it.
Oh. Then I shouldn't include this.
Please don't.
All right.
That is a gross misrepresentation.
Well, can you give us some of your ideas on the
energy?
Right,
that would be nice if you'd give a speech in the room.
Right.
And do you feel, with your background in the Young Socialist Party, and your thinking in those days, what do you feel has been accomplished through the years? How do you think nowadays in view of what's going on?
I think that most of the radical experts were wrong and useful. Being right isn't always the same as being useful. Being useful doesn't always arise from being right. Kinds of pressures and kinds of thought processes that they were responsible for helped produce some of the changes that have been a great benefit to our society. Even though our society didn't do what they said it was going to do, or should do. We have made remarkable progress. A person in Pittsburgh on welfare now lives better, or is able to live better, than the person who worked in the steel mill full time as soon as it was created. The person on pension in the steel industry today has a money income in excess of what he probably made 10 years ago. If he has worked. He probably has a standard of living, real income, so to speak, in excess of what he received working 10 years ago. This is not true of all working workers who are steel workers. And when I say steel workers, I mean people employed in the steel industry. It represents a minority of our members. Less than 1/3 of our members work in the steel industry.
And the rest? are concerned in what other industry?
The woman industry. Every other man industry, without exception, is gold writing. Processing all kinds of miners, everything except coal. All the miners except coal miners, all of us do. And then a large number of people who are fabricating industry, fabricating all kinds of things, metals and plastics. Then a whole raft of miscellaneous people, mushroom growers, bank clerks, lots of miscellaneous people who identify with
it. How? Why?
Is it a woman?
Oh.
And they're usually in steel communities where it makes sense to them to belong to the union.
But it doesn't mean that what they're doing is always related to the industry involved, these big industries.
They deal with whatever employer they have. I don't know what that's
like. Do you see?
I spend too much time getting involved in all kinds of troubles. Dinners, conferences, seminars, making speeches. Somebody should be representing us at the dinner tomorrow and so on. So I go.
And Mr. Abel is relieved of those duties.
Sometimes we go together.
Is there a chance that you may someday become the president?
If I hang around there, I would be required to retire. Carter is kind and gracious and relieved.
Are we allowed to ask you that now?
Then we're doubly glad we got you.
What do you see any, do you have any comment to make on the future of the unions in America now that so much has been accomplished? What is that future now?
Just like Winston Churchill said, so much has been done, but so much has been done. There is no end to the future of human aspirations. They take different forms. We will all see the day, I hope. I hope we're around. This isn't when many workers will achieve a status where they have permanent tenure in their families. Not subject to that. Not subject to any way of losing that. Just like a school
teacher.
That will probably be giant steps in the ceiling of the school and the Olympics. This year, is how far it will go, what shape it will.
But that's for competent work. Is that what you mean?
That's for people who have a given amount of seniority and established. We don't have a problem with competent work. Steel working with competent work. We have many, many problems.
Well, I'm thinking of school teachers. There can be a good teacher or a bad teacher, and they're still there
but you can't be
with
a good
tenure.
Steel worker with a bad steel worker. The job is important. Second of all, it's easy to do it well, but if you do it badly, you're not talking about art. You're given a virtually prescribed task for which there is some judgment involved, and some, in many cases, some art. Wide range to jump into that furnace and steal out of it. Your job is not to make jewelry, make exquisite.
There's one question here in our outline. Can you contrast Pittsburgh today with Pittsburgh yesterday, socially, culturally, politically, environmentally? Since you've lived here, do you see it a big difference?
Let's take the environment. I lived in Kensington, worked here, and I worked late. I always wondered whether I could drive home without great jeopardy because I wouldn't be able to see the road. Not many people who remember this who are willing to remember. And if there are dangerous driving conditions which you can't see in this area today, it used to be almost every evening car. I sleep my car outdoors. Before I went to work in the morning, I scraped the dirt off so I could see. Very few of any areas in this western Pennsylvania that this is still true. A lot of people are measuring our environment against some ideal which has been scientifically developed and so on. It can be very destructive. This is the real world. We have made tremendous progress. We're all making great progress. I remember the first great steel smelter, 1946. And even the news commentators, the press had to remark, I mean, from out of town, that they were seeing Pittsburgh for the first time. And we have our bad days and our bad nights, beautiful visitors. It's not an uncommon occurrence for Pittsburgh to sparkle in San Francisco. I think it's common not to be able to see San Francisco the way that it is Pittsburgh. And I think these are very significant developments.
What about the energy situation?
Michelle, to the contrary, notwithstanding, she would find something else to play with in people's lives. I can understand her being bored.
The energy situation.
The energy situation is we are either going to solve it or this society will be one of the most precarious circumstances that any great and interdependent society has ever encountered. We have been sitting around contemplating our neighbors. Is creeping up on us. This crisis we have now is very dramatic, but it's not symptomatic of our problem. The problem is that without cold weather, without storm, we don't have enough energy to keep this country going in the manner in which it should be going, which it hasn't been, of course. We have been blessed with enough unemployment, with enough idleness in our society so that we've been able to get by. Not well, we've done fine. If we begin to get this country working, not only the people working, renewing our cities and all the other things,